You're listening to the Righteous Babe Podcast, the show that gives you the inspiration and practical tools you need to create a life-changing journaling practice. You may have kept a diary as a kid, but this is the grown woman's guide to journaling. I'm your host, Javacia Harris Bowser, and each week I'll offer you uplifting conversation and thought-provoking prompts to help you write your way to the best version of yourself. Let's do this. What's up, Journal Babes? It's your girl, Javacia, aka The Righteous Babe. And of course, that's righteous spelled W-R-I-T-E-O-U-S, because when you're a writer, you get to make up words. Today, we are going to talk about boundaries. And just being honest, I am kind of terrible at that. So I had to bring in some help. So to help me out today is my girl, Laura Quick. Hello, hello.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me,
Jessica. Thank you for being here. So before we get started into this discussion of boundaries, tell the people a little bit about yourself. What do you do? Tell us who you are.
Okay, my name's Laura Quick. I'm friends with Javacia. I know you because you are an incredible writer, and you have been writing for a magazine that I own called Good Grit for many years. Mm-hmm. And I started Good Grit in 2014 conceptually, went to print with our first issue in July of 2015, and we are distributed in the lower 12 states. We have a readership of around 300,000. We have subscribers primarily in five or six states, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, because of 30A. Thank you, 30A. And then Texas and the Carolinas are also pretty big, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Okay. And so she's the owner of Good Grit. You do a lot of other stuff too. Tell us a little bit about the Good Grit agency.
Yeah, we... Well, I'm not sure if anyone knows this, but the magazine business is pretty hard. It is not exactly something I would tell anybody, like, yeah, you should start a magazine. It is difficult. So I learned very quickly that we would have to be scrappy in how we drove revenue and made money. And one of the ways that we did that is in 2019, we decided to start a creative storytelling agency because we had been telling impactful stories for many years. We saw kind of a hole in the industry. Mm-hmm. Just in general, we'd be telling these incredible stories, nonprofits, for-profits, individuals, and they would get their story and they'd be like, this is the best story anybody's ever written about us. I'm like, huh. And so finally I was like, wow, what if we just started an initiative around creative storytelling and content producing? And because I have, I hate to brag, but I will brag, I have like the best team ever. We're an all-female staff at Good Grit, the agency and the magazine. And they're incredible, incredible designers, incredible writers, incredible curators, account managers. And so really just felt like we had the team we needed, mm-hmm. and we had some capacity because we went from six issues to four issues in 2019. And so before the pandemic, decided to start a creative agency, and the agency outgrew the magazine in 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So it was definitely like the right thing to do. Yeah. Thank you, God, for like doing that, because I'm sure I'm not smart enough to do that on my own, for sure. And then I started a tech company in 2020 with a friend, and that was like the dissemination piece. We had all this creative stuff, and we really, what I learned about digital marketing is there's a lot of people that can tell you they know how to do it and a lot of people that don't know how to do it, and they're just telling you they do. Right. And so by the time you've spent thousands of dollars, you realize like, I don't think you know what you're doing. So I decided to go find people who did know what they were doing, empower them and employ them, and start a company that did that so that we could be honest, mm-hmm. about the ever-changing market and the landscape of how digital marketing works. And it has been really fun to watch that evolve. And it's also it is a difficult business. Yeah. So I understand that someone who did know what they were talking about when they told you they did might not know what they're talking about in 3 months.
If right. They're not paying exactly. Attention. Exactly.
So I actually don't think they were lying.
Yeah,
I think they
were just that, like, everything changes.
That's
so
right.
Fast.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are the things that I also have a couple nonprofits I love, and I work and started.
So she does all the things. I mean, I just, she does all the things.
Listen, if it has something to do with childhood poverty mindset,
yeah,
I'm interested. And if it has something to do with mental health, I'm interested.
So she does all those things. But on top of that, she also, a couple of years ago, led a Bible study that I was a part of. And that is actually why I brought her here. Yes, she is this business mastermind, but none of those are actually the reason why I brought her here today. Because as I mentioned, I want to discuss boundaries. And this was 2021, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're still all a little creeped out about COVID, for sure.
Yeah, because I remember we did a lot of our meetings outside.
All of them.
Because of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though it was cold.
It was cold. We were like shivering.
Yeah, right.
I was like, wear your scarves, guys. Right. We're meeting outside. Where did we meet? We met at
in Homewood. I remember I have this vivid memory of us outside of Edgar's just like shivering.
Yeah, it was real cold.
So, but she led this Bible study about boundaries. And if you know Laura, you know that a Bible study led by Laura is not going to be your average Bible study.
Thank God. I don't like to be average at anything.
So, and it's also, it's going to be like the Bible study for folks who don't like Bible study.
If I like to, my husband says that I'm the girl that loves Jesus like more than anybody he knows, but still will drop an F-bomb.
Right.
Like on a Tuesday.
Right. For example, can you tell us the name of the Bible study that we were a part of?
Yes. Well, when I originally came up with the Bible study, because this wasn't the first time I had done a Bible study. Okay. I actually started this Bible study in 2017 for a group of college girls. And I thought, like, what would I have wanted to hear in college? Mm-hmm. And so I named the Bible study, Bitch, Get Your Own Oil. And then I saw their faces and I thought, maybe I'm off. Like, the branding is not quite where it needs to be on this. I don't know. And so I called it Girl Get Your Own Oil, which was not what I wanted to do. I felt like I had full permission because of the scripture itself. You know, it felt appropriate.
Yeah, it just felt right.
It felt right. It felt right to me. The way I read it was, you know, like, it was it wasn't in the 1900s. It was the early 2000s, and I was making bad decisions, and I really heard this parable like it was for me.
So the parable that we're talking about, first, let me back up a little bit. Let me explain why we're doing this episode, because you're probably like, this is supposed to be a podcast about journaling. What are you talking about? We're getting there. Just hold on. Mm-hmm. Just trust me here. Mm-hmm. But if y'all remember, a few episodes ago, I told you that I felt like my life was in shambles, right? And I told you that this is largely because I'm so busy that I'm neglecting self-care, right? And so last week, I gave you an episode all about self-care and how I'm trying to get better about that. But a couple weeks ago, I was getting my makeup done. Actually, it was probably like a month or so ago. I was getting my makeup done for an event. And the makeup artist was asking me questions. I started rattling off all the things that I have going on in my life. And she said, oh, so you have boundary issues. She just straight called me out, right?
I like her. What's her name? Send her my way.
Right. She was like, oh, so you have boundary issues. And when she said that, I instantly thought about you, because I thought about the one time in my life where I felt like I did not have boundary issues, and it was right after your Bible study.
Oh, that makes me feel so... We need to bring it back.
I know.
We need to bring it back. Everybody can sign up at our website called bitchgetyourownoil.com. I'm just kidding.
So I ran home and I went to my journal. See, I told you it was getting back to journaling. I went to the journal that I kept during that time, and I went back and I reread the things that we talked about regarding boundaries. And it did all start with a parable. And so bear with me. I'm going to read the parable to you. Now, if you're not a church going Bible reading kind of person,
then I promise you my Bible study would have been for right. you. For you.
Exactly. So hang on here. So this is the parable of the 10 virgins.
Wait, before she starts, in case you are not a Bible going girl or person, because I don't know who all listens, you need to know that parables in the Bible are the red letters. This is like, well, there's a lot of parables, but Jesus specifically spoke in parables. And so in Matthew, what she's about to read to you, this is Jesus telling us a story to help illustrate a kind of a directive. Like he's giving us direction on how we should live, and he's using a story, which I love because I'm a storyteller. I just love when people use stories to help me learn lessons because I do feel like they're more applicable.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No. Thank you for that. Okay, the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves."
Okay. Do you want me to break it down?
So, yes. Well, first, let me tell y'all how I used to read this. So, if you read the rest of it, basically, the ones who didn't have enough oil, they go out and try to find some, and it doesn't work out because, like, they're gone when the bridegroom comes. So, it's like, womp, womp, right? So, when I used to read this, because I grew up in church, and when I would read this parable or have it read to me, I always would focus on the foolish ones, the ones who didn't have the oil, the ones who weren't there in time, the ones who weren't ready. That was always my focus. Mm-hmm. I never considered that I could be the wise one and that everybody's trying to take stuff from me. I never considered that until your Bible study.
And let me tell you why she considered it. Because then I broke it down like it was the early 2000s. For those of us born in the 1900s, that means that in the early 2000s, let me tell you what we were doing. We were going to the club. This is why I called it Bitch Get Your Own Oil. Because when I read this parable for the first time, I had this incredible aha moment. I think it was when I met Jesus very late in my life. It was 2015 when I started kind of like tiptoeing around this idea, like maybe God is good. Mm-hmm. Maybe God does want good things for me. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And if you want to find out about him, you can follow along with my story. I talk about a lot. But the truth is that when I started to get curious around this good God, one of the ways that you can find out the nature of God is to go and learn about Jesus and how Jesus lived. And so I was really interested in the red letters. The red letters of the Bible were something that I really wanted to learn about. And so, but when I got to this parable, let's call it 2016, I probably felt, my best friend Shelley would call them assholes. I had a lot of assholes in my life, okay?
Assholes.
You know, these are people that like, they want to ask you for things. And then they get mad at you if you can't meet a need that they had or an expectation they had of you that didn't really fit into your schedule or your life or, you know, your goals. And when I read this for the first time, I read it and this is what I heard. There were these 10 girls and they were going out to the club. Okay. 5 of them were responsible. They did not get crunk. They did not pour out all the oil and make it rain and do all the things, okay? 5 of them did. They poured out their oil. They got crunk. They stayed out all night. Okay, but those other 5, they were responsible. They had a drink or two. They danced a dance. They let boys try to get their number. They rolled out. They put on sleeping mask and did like a nightly routine on their face, okay? And the other 5, crunk. They come rolling in, mascara smeared on their face. They heard the sound and they were like, "Listen, we got crunk. Like, we forgot what time it was. We used all our oil. I need, Javacy, I need some of your oil." But here's what y'all need to remember about this. This is the part that made it so good for me. Jesus, in the parable, clearly says that the responsible, Gervaisi in this case, she went home, did a nightly routine, took off her makeup, she drank 8 ounces of water, she took 2 ibuprofen, she was ready, okay? She did all the things. When I came to her, not doing all the things, knowing all the things, mm-hmm. This is the thing, the really important part of this parable for me was they all had the same amount of information.
Okay. That's good.
They all started with the same amount of information. The bridegroom is coming. In order to meet the bridegroom, you need to have oil.
Right.
It's important.
Yeah. Okay? They all knew that.
They all knew that. Just the same way the 10 girls who went to the club knew. There is a responsible way to go to the club, and there is a dumb way to go to the club. 5 of y'all, smart. 5 of y'all, dumb. The 5 dumb ones love to come to the 5 responsible ones. Mm-hmm. Hey, girl, listen, you know how I get sometimes at the club, and I'm going to need some of your oil. And what Jesus gave us permission to do is to say, no.
No.
I'm sorry. Not, it wasn't even no, I'm sorry. Just no.
Right. And notice that it said, hold on, where is it? No, there may not be enough for both us and you.
Meaning, I'm sorry. You got crunk. You poured out your oil. I was responsible. I did not do that. I have enough reserve to wake up at midnight and go and meet the bridegroom, the most important thing that any of us are called to do, mm-hmm. which is, you know, to go meet God wherever God says, like, what's up? We meeting. You got to be like, all right, well, I'm ready. Let's go. And that, I can't even tell you what happened to my life.
So how did you... What made you read that way? Because like I said, I read that parable tons of times, mm-hmm. and I never got that from it until your Bible study.
What's interesting is the homework. Remember, we met, and I was like, here's the homework. We're going to read this, and I want y'all to go and, like, really interpret it. Mm-hmm. What do you get? Everyone in the group said the same thing. Like, some of the women in our group in that Bible study would be like, I just felt like they were kind of mean.
Right. Right, because you feel like, oh, if somebody asks you for something, you're supposed to say yes, right?
And it's like you had it, they didn't, like, but they all had the same amount of information. So here's what made me read it this way. One, I think I read the Bible, and I read most content from the position of knowing what it's like to be completely depleted and empty, mm-hmm. and really longing for good news. And so when I'm going to consume content, good content, I'm always looking to find, like, what's the takeaway? Like, how can I learn? How will this make me better? It's the same reason that I read any business books or whatever. Like, I'm looking to find out my own deficiency and how can I put a tool in my tool belt that will help me navigate this part of my life. Well, when I read that, I was like, oh. And Shelly, my best friend, she also was kind of like a big part of that. Like, wait, this is Jesus giving us permission, mm-hmm. to tell people no. And then I immediately just made it like a Laura kind of ghetto, you know, like story. Like, oh, okay, well, how can I? Because the same way in that time, that parable would have made perfect sense to the disciples that Jesus was speaking to. Mm-hmm. Because of the way he was talking and the context he was talking in. If I tell you that story about going to the club, you knew exactly what I was talking about.
Right, exactly.
Right. You know. You knew. You were either the girl who got crunk and poured out all the oil, or you were the girl who was like, I'm going to bed. Right?
Or sometimes, you know, we were both in the course of the semester. Totally. You know, like sometimes yes, you were the wise one, sometimes the not so wise one.
Well, and I mean, honestly, I call my 20s like the blackout decade. I was the unwise one, okay? And not even normally because I was drinking, because most of the time I pretended to drink. It was just like I didn't want to miss anything. I really paid bartenders to, like, pretend they were giving me alcohol.
That's hilarious.
That's because I'm a control freak. It's a different episode, Javacia.
Yeah, okay. We'll bring you back for that one. But I want to go back to the journal. Mm-hmm. And here are the things that I wrote down in my journal from that lesson, things that I learned from you from that lesson. So in Matthew 25, in this parable that I just read for y'all, Jesus is giving me permission to say no when saying yes might mean I have nothing left for myself or for God. Mm-hmm. And that was huge for me, that I have permission to say no if it means that saying yes could mean that nothing will be left for me. Mm-hmm. And so when we say yes, even if it means that nothing will be left for you, that means you have boundary issues. And that means me right now, right? And so this is huge for me. I also wrote, Jesus has also given me permission to rest. Because if you remember, it says that all of them fell asleep while they were waiting for the bridegroom. They fell asleep. So you can rest. You can take a little nap. And then it also says, this is also my journal, you have permission to say no to people who are being foolish. So this goes back to what Laura was saying about how everybody had the same information. It wasn't like, you know, five of them had a different starting point than the other five. They all had the same information. So these revelations were huge for me, and this is why you need to keep a journal, y'all, because I wrote these down. And so after the makeup artist said to me, you have boundary issues, I was able to go back and revisit this in my journal. And now hopefully I will kind of recalibrate. So based on this.
In Proverbs 13:20, just since we've opened up in the Bible situation, in Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Mm. It does not say you have to walk with fools to suffer harm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you are a companion with them, though, and you let them come knock on your door and ask you for oil when you don't have any oil, mm-hmm. you will. But when you're walking with wise people who are modeling the type of behavior you want to emulate, you will become like them by yes. proxy. And so who you are around, you become like who you walk with, period and end of story. You walk with fools, you become a fool. You don't have to be a fool to become a fool. Mm.
hang out with them.
this is thousands of years old text. You don't even have to like be a believer in Christ. If you ever want to talk about that, you can call me too. But you don't have to be a believer in Christ to know that this is ancient text that mm-hmm. we're reading right here. That yeah. has been true for thousands of years, it's still true today.
Yes.
You can see it. You can look at someone and look at their friend group and go, wow, you either say, I want to be like them, or I don't think I want to be like
right.
them.
Right, exactly.
And normally, you know why. something else you said that I think I just want to touch on is, if you are maybe like Javasia, sitting in that chair getting your makeup done, or proverbially sitting in the chair getting your makeup done thinking, you have boundary issues, I have boundary issues, and feeling convicted. If you're there in your time, one of the most important questions I would ask you, if you were sitting in this room with Javasi and I right now, I would say, tell me how do you have yourself ranked? Where would you rank yourself right now in priority? Mine is very clear to me. Mm-hmm. It's God. So my connection with God, then me. Mm-hmm. And really those two things are in the same circle.
Yeah.
They're at the same level. So if I'm not good, I know I'm normally not hanging out with God enough. Mm-hmm. If I'm good, it's normally because God's in a good position in my life and I'm like following along. So it's God, then me. God and me, we're in the same circle. Then it's my husband. Mm-hmm. My husband does not go above me, ever. No, I'm sorry, because if I'm not good, I cannot be good for
you. Right, exactly.
Then my boys, as I have two boys who I love very much, they are not above my husband, and they are not above me, and they certainly are not above God. And if I get it out of order, mm-hmm. and I do, by the way, I am not an expert. I try to be. I'd love to tell y'all that I am, but I'm still also working on this because we're human. The same thing, then comes work and friends and all of those things. And there are things that change order, but what cannot change order is where I am.
That's good.
Because, you know, it is true that if your child gets sick, okay, on any level, like if they're in the hospital because they've got a horrible virus, then guess what? Your spouse probably takes a backseat for a little while you're diving into that.
Right.
That's okay. That's a seasonal shift. Mm-hmm. As long as you get back to the natural order of things, you're going to be okay. The same way that sometimes friendship needs to come above work. Mm-hmm. If you have a friend who's walking through something horrible,
right,
then maybe your friends are going to take a front seat to even your job, mm-hmm. if you can sustain that. Some of us can't. But as long as things go back and you stay where you're supposed to stay,
right.
Top, you're at the top, you and a higher power. I really strongly recommend you have higher power, because Lord have mercy, if you're the God of your life, that's a disaster too. I could tell you all about that. But I just wanted to kind of point out that those priorities, they're that basic. If
yeah.
you're not at the top with a higher power, mine being Jesus, God, Mother, Father, God, like however you want to say it, then the rest of your life going to be out of order too.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about how to get there, how to get those priorities straight, because really that's what it comes down to. Like, building correct boundaries is about setting correct priorities. So mm-hmm. we want that. We want more of that, especially those of us who want to journal, because if you don't ever journal, it's probably because your priorities are messed up. If you want to journal, but you never do, it's probably because your priorities are messed up.
It's my favorite thing about people say, like, I want to be a writer. And I'm like, that is amazing. Tell me what you're writing right now. Oh, well, I'm not writing anything right now. I'm like, then you don't want to be a writer.
Right.
You don't want
exactly,
to be a writer.
Exactly. And it's usually because your priorities and your boundaries are all messed up. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. First, I want to tell you a little bit more about See Jane Write, which is my website and community for women who write, because that's something else that can help you get your writing priorities in order. The Righteous Bay Podcast is a production of See Jane Write, a website and community for women who write and create, founded by me, Javacia Harris Bowser. Through courses, coaching, community, and virtual events, See Jane Write empowers and equips women to use their writing skills and their stories to make money and make a difference. We'd love for you to check out our free Facebook group so you can see what we're all about. Just head over to Facebook, search for See Jane Write Network, and come join us. I look forward to chatting with you in the group. So this is a journaling podcast, so we probably need to talk a little bit more about journaling. So I want to ask you, Laura, what role has journaling played in helping you set your boundaries?
Well, I think it's a key role.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's probably I believe journaling is where you can be the most honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not journaling, sometimes you're not being honest with yourself. We can lie to ourselves when we're just going about life and yes, sure. Of course I could do that. I'll add that to the list. But when we can slow things down and journal, I believe that you can get into a flow if you'll give yourself permission mm-hmm. to, like, man, I'm going to take one page, two page, three pages, one sentence, and I'm just going to write the most honest thing that I can think of. And when we give ourselves permission to do that, we start to see deficiencies. It's just like a vitamin deficiency that you might find in a blood test.
Mm-hmm.
When you're honest and it's your words, you cannot escape what you tell you.
Mm,
but you
good.
Really can run from what everybody else tells you.
Yeah.
If you want to.
That's good. So what does your journaling practice look like? Do you journal every day? Do you have a routine, or do you just kind of journal when the spirit moves you?
No, I journal every day.
Okay.
I'm writing a book, and I believe that writing is a practice. I know you know that because you've written multiple books. And so, and I've learned that from Javacia. She's coming to my Bible study, and I'm kind of like, hey, can we go to lunch? I want to talk to you about your writing process and like what that was like. And we also sat on a patio. I'll never forget that because it was also still kind of chilly. But I think that, you know, I believe that writing is a practice. And mm-hmm. so a practice is something you should honor. it should feel ritualistic, and you will only settle into a routine if you commit to it. Mm-hmm. And so it's an everyday thing for me. It's an every morning thing. It's I turn on A Lovely Day by Bill Withers. That's the song I start my day with.
I love that.
Dance around my kitchen. I'll turn on worship music if I feel like it. I make my coffee, and then I settle into the same chair, I grab my journal, and I always finish a journal before I start another one. And people do that differently. I also have a gratitude journal. Now I have a lake journal because we bought a place at the lake, and I just write things that happen at the lake in that journal. But I do think if nothing else happens in a day, the thing I commit to is at least one sentence of what I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. Because everything flows from our gratitude. Like, if you want to multiply something, be grateful.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we're thinking about, you know, practical steps to getting to that point where you have better boundaries. So, mm-hmm. so far you've talked about getting honest with yourself, just taking that journal out and getting honest with yourself. Do you think journaling can also help you get those priorities straight that you were talking about?
Well, I mean, I think honesty will lead you to, am I? I mean, maybe that's a question you ask yourself mm-hmm. before you roll into them. Maybe you need a prompt. I think some people need to journal with prompts. Gervasia does a great job. She has those boxes that if you buy one, it's going to send you some really incredible prompts. But a great prompt to launch from is, if I wrote my top five priorities in mm-hmm. life right now, and I rank them, mm-hmm. where am I?
Yeah.
Or am I in the top five? And if you write them and it looks like my children, my husband, my work, my friends, then me, well, girl, you got a problem. No wonder.
You got boundary issues.
You have a boundary issue. So I would say that is a great prompt that you should ask yourself and get really honest. And listen, here's a great thing about a journal. It does not judge you. Your journal will never judge you.
Remember that. It doesn't judge you.
It doesn't judge you. It's never mad at you if you missed a day or missed 2 days or miss a week. If you've been away from journaling and you know it was a really healthy practice for a long period of time in your life, it is never too late to come back, and your journal is not mad at you mm-hmm. ever. Never judges you. You just get to pick up a pen and start again. And so I think that that's just a permission slip I'd love to write for anyone, that if you'll ask yourself the honest questions and then answer yourself honestly, you're going to find out where you are in priorities. That's step one. So being honest and then writing the priorities down. Step two would be asking yourself, how do I move myself from number whatever you are to number two
yeah.
or number one? You know, you can share a box with God. Mm-hmm. You and God are one. God is within. So that's a beautiful thing. If you've accepted that and you know it, then you can start living from it.
Yeah.
And then I would say, like, the third and most practical thing is, I really think that all women, specifically if you've made it to age 30 or beyond, need to practically write down your core values.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I did that. I do that often, but I don't think I'd ever done it as in much detail as I did when we were going through that Bible study, because that's something else that you had us do. And that's actually in my journal too, right before the other things that I was just reading to y'all. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing, if you have values, so the way that I define core values are, who will I be when everyone is watching, and who will I be when no one is watching?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's such a good prompt, y'all.
Yeah, it's so good, because that's honest, mm-hmm. you know? And if the truth about yourself right now is, man, sometimes I fly off the freaking handle, and that's who I am when people watch, and that's who I am when people aren't watching, that's okay. Be honest about that. And then, is there a value that you can set that you want to live into,
right.
that you want to live up to? And so I always say, if you can have 3 to 5 mm-hmm. operating values that you are saying, this is how I'm measuring myself. I'm going to measure myself and my character against these 3 to 5 things. If you have values, then you can write boundaries.
Mm, yeah, so it starts with the values, and then...
You can't be writing boundaries if you don't have any values,
yeah,
okay?
That's good.
That's dumb. That's don't dumb. Work. you don't know what your operating system is and you try to write these boundaries, you're going to be floating. Mm-hmm. So your boundaries should be based on your core values or your operating system. What is it exactly? What's the call in my life? I'm calling myself to higher power. And I think that sometimes a lack of boundaries is based in a lack of purpose. Mm. If you show me a woman who's spinning out, I'll show you a woman who's wandering, a wandering generality.
Mm. Sorry, y'all. I just need to sit with that for a moment. That's good stuff.
I'm sorry. I know. It's hard to hear that, especially if you do feel like you're spinning a little bit.
Right. That's why I needed to sit with it.
And if you feel that way, if that hurt a little bit or like stung and you're like, oh, gross. I'm sorry. I just like to do a lot of things. But so do I, by the way. So do I. But if you're not filtering it through your value system.
Right.
If you're not measuring it against the boundaries that you've created for yourself, then and you're saying yes. And look, I love saying yes. It's my favorite thing. It literally, it is a value of my company that when a client asks for something, we do not say no ever. We say, yes, we would love to help with that. Let me circle back to the team and find out if that's something we do or if we would want to source someone for you. And so I want you to be a yes person for sure. What I don't want you to do is be a yes person to the detriment of yourself, to the detriment of your purpose. Mm-hmm. Purpose is not necessarily a job. Purpose is not necessarily a thing you're doing. Purpose is your values and living within the values you set out for yourself within your own truth. Mm-hmm. So when we're spinning, it's normally because we're not doing that.
So tell me, how has having clear boundaries helped you in both your relationships, but also in your professional life?
I have the best illustration of this. So before my husband and I got married, we saw a therapist because we had both been through divorce, him only just one and me multiple because of the blackout decade where I thought marriage was optional and fun. Not anything I advise, but we were in therapy because we knew we loved each other and we wanted to make it work, but Shane just wasn't sure he could with me because I'm scary. I get it. And I was in the therapist's office by myself and I was like, I just don't understand. I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And he's just not doing like anything. And my therapist looked at me and said, what percentage do you think you're doing? Like 90, Don, 90%. It's depleting. And he was like, okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is drop back down to 50 and let him come to you. And I was like, what if he doesn't? He was like, then you have your answer.
Mm.
But if you're doing 90 and then you're only requiring 10% from the other person.
Yep.
If you're doing 90 right now in your life, you need to back down to 50.
Mm, that's good.
So it was a wake-up call for me because I was like, I'm sorry. I can't help but how high capacity I am and how wonderful of a partner I'm trying to be. He was actually like, what you're doing is you're robbing your future husband from the opportunity of meeting you in this and actually contributing at a high level. So high capacity people have a tendency to want to control and want to compensate and want to fill in all the gaps. And what we do is we rob other people from being able to show up in their purpose, giving them permission, liberating them to do big, meaningful things because we're so good at doing so many big, meaningful things.
That's so good. I love that. So tell us a little bit about your podcast. So Laura has a podcast too.
Listen, this is what I hope, and maybe Javasia can tell me. My goal in starting this podcast was to fully own my story. Mm-hmm. So that means to tell you the messy parts, but to really break down from a therapeutic side what was happening. Why do we go to the club, get crunk, pour out all our oil, and then go to other people that are responsible and be like, hi, can you give me some of your oil, please? That'd be so great. And so I invited my friend who's a therapist to come. She's a therapist. She's a coach. And so we have candid conversations. What we hope it feels like is that you are having a glass of wine and laughing your ass off yes. at the things we're saying, but that you will get tangible takeaways that you go, oh, man, I do that. Yeah. I've done that before. Or I have a friend I want to send this podcast to because I think she's kind of going through this right now. And that's the goal. And honestly, it's called Before You Cut Bangs because I feel like...
I love
like,
that title so much.
I mean, you know, literally my husband videoed me because I just dyed my hair darker for the fall. And there is, I have to get it fixed tomorrow. It's honestly, there's like some gray pieces in it that I don't even have gray hair yet. And I'm like, wow, really rushing this thing at 40. But... He was like, are you in crisis? I'm like, I'll kill you. Do not ask. And he's like, I mean, I'm just asking. I'm sending a video. He sent a video to Claire, and he was like, who I do the podcast with. And he's like, do you think we should intervene? Or like, is this okay? She's like, I think it's fine. But that's the podcast. It's super fun. It is very down to earth. It's extremely vulnerable. I know it sounds funny when you're listening to it, but it's really, you know, it takes a lot of guts to open kind of the arsenal of your own story. Right. But if I don't own my story, then someone else will. Mm-hmm. And if I don't own my story, then it will turn into shame. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live that way.
Yes, I love it. So Before You Cut Bangs, be sure to check it out. And now I want to tell y'all a little bit about how my podcast, how it works, how it comes to life every week. The Righteous Babe podcast would not be possible without Creed 63, an inclusive space for the community and entrepreneurs to come together to work, create, and be inspired. Located in the historic Black Business District of Birmingham, Alabama, Creed 63 is much more than a place to work, offering a wide range of resources to support and connect emerging and established entrepreneurs. Creed 63 is also home to a wonderful podcast studio where the Righteous Babe Show was born. Head to creed63.com to learn more. Each week here on the Righteous Babe podcast, I give you a prompt. And honestly, I feel like Laura has already given you amazing prompts that are better than anything that I could give you.
I doubt that.
So be sure to jot those down. If you didn't, rewind this and jot down those prompts that she just gave you. But here's another one to add to that. What barriers are keeping you from doing the things you wish you did more consistently? And what boundaries could you set to help remove these barriers? So again, it's what barriers are keeping you from doing the things you wish you did more consistently? And what boundaries could you set to help remove these barriers? So if you think about the stuff that you wish you did more of, most likely you're not doing them because you feel like, oh, I don't have enough time. Well, you feel like you don't have enough time because you're busy doing something else. And those other things that you're doing that you probably don't even really want to do, you're probably doing them because you're not setting boundaries. So think about that. Think about all of the stuff that Laura mentioned before. And just, you know, use your journal to get to that place where you are clear on your core values and then use that to set those boundaries. Laura, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This is so fun. I am like, it makes me want to like start the Bible study again.
You should.
It's so fun.
So where can people find you on the internet?
I would say I hang out mostly on Instagram, Laura L. Quick on Instagram. You can find me there. I would love for you guys to tune into the podcast and listen. I think I promise you'll laugh.
You definitely will laugh. In one episode, I listen to podcasts when I'm walking. And one episode, I had to stop walking because I was laughing so hard. I was worried I was going to fall down. Okay. So I had to just stop.
That's what we hope, guys. We want you to, we do not want to be the people who are telling you, putting tools in your tool belt that are also not, we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Claire and I are like about just like owning it and being like, all right, well, we did that. That's wisdom. So yeah, those two places, I would love to meet you there. If you send me a message, I'd love to hear from you. I try to get back to people within a day. So. Okay.
And per usual, you can find me on Instagram also. That's where I spend most of my time. You can find me at C. Javacia Wright, or you can also check out the Righteous Babe Instagram. And if you reach out, I want to know your journaling journey. Let me know how things are going with figuring out your values. Let me know how things are going with setting your boundaries. I want to know because we're in this together.
Yes, we are. Thank God.
Thank God. And thank you again for being here. This has been great.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for this week's episode of the Righteous Babe Podcast. Remember, you have the power to write your way through anything and to the life of your dreams. Happy journaling.